Christ says, I came to make sure that you are no more living in darkness. And if even if you were not in darkness, but you were just living in the shadow of death, my light is bright enough to set you free. But he says the ultimate is that it will guide your feet into the path of peace.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
All right, please pick up your Bibles and let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 1. I'll be starting a series as we get ready and prepare ourselves for Christmas. Every birthday has a focus. Do you agree? Who is the focus of a birthday? It's the celebrant, correct? For some reason, when it's Christmas, we say happy holidays. Who is the celebrant here? We're celebrating Christ Jesus, and I want to put focus. I am not a novice. I know certain people celebrate other holidays around this time, but long ago, where were their celebration? It was nowhere. When people don't want to talk about Christ, they give other reasons, but Jesus is the reason for this season. Tell the person sitting next to you. Say it again. Jesus is the reason for this season. Amen. And so I want to focus on Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. That's a controversial name, but it is the most powerful name. The Bible says, at the mention of the name, what? Every knee must bow. The knees that are in heaven, those on earth, and those beneath the earth. And I thank God that when the name of Jesus is mentioned, every power must bow. Somebody stand with me this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to introduce to you the King of this universe, the Lord of glory. Mighty is his name. Excellent is his name. The Bible says, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Great I Am. So hear me, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Put your hands together and give him glory in the house this day. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Take your seats. So I'll be using as a subject for the series, Jesus the I Am. Say that with me, Jesus the I Am. Throughout the book of John, Jesus uses seven statements where he equals himself with God the Father. Notice when Moses asks God, what is your name? God says, I am who I am. Jesus steps on the scene in the New Testament and he says, I am. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. And all throughout, Jesus is saying that I am going to be certain things to you because whenever you find yourself in a place, you will know that I am that I am. So I want to announce to the hearing of the whole world, Jesus is not a prophet. Jesus is not just mere human. In fact, the Bible says whenever he was going to be born, his name would be called Immanuel. Take it to the Hebrew. In means in, right? Manuel, talking about the fact that it is God inside of a man. So he is God and he is man. There are people who argue that is not possible. That's not true. How many of you sitting in this room was originally born in Africa? Raise your hands. And how many of you who are from Africa that you just raise your hands are United States citizens? So how can you, one person, become two things that he cannot be? When the world wants to have it both ways, they give us a bunch of stories. Jesus is God. I said, Jesus is God. And then the Bible says he is also human at the same time when you step on the earth. And throughout this series, I will show it to you. So today, I want to focus on one of the I am statements Jesus made. Next week, I'll keep doing it till we get to Christmas. And so for our focus this morning, I want to talk about Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the... So when you put up Christmas trees, please don't make Christmas about lights. Remember that Jesus is the light. I said, Jesus is what? The light. Amen and amen. Jesus is the light. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Please read with me from the 12th verse. John chapter 8. Verse 12, we'll read from the New International Version. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, everybody go. The light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of. See, when Jesus says, this Christmas season, when you put up your lights, remember that I am the light of the world. What is he saying to us? He is simply indicating that only him and him alone, is the solution to the predicament of all humans. He's the one who is going to bring light to us in the midst of our situation. Amen? Amen. When you set up dinner table, remember he is the bread of life. When you set up the trees, he is the true vine. It is all about him. I said, it is all about, when we set up the nativity scene, it is not about the shepherds over there. It is about the shepherd. He is the reason for this season. And this year, I want you to make it all about. All about. Our world wants us to say anything that he's a prophet, he's equal to Muhammad, he's like Buddha. No. No, no. Muhammad, Buddha, every single one of those are creatures. But he is the creator. They are not the same. Jesus is God. Come on, I said Jesus is God. And you will see throughout this lesson why he said, I am the light. Now, darkness necessitates that there ought to be light. Every light has a source. Do you agree? This light here in this room has a source. The light of the sun has source. But how many of you know that scientifically it is proven that darkness have no source? Because darkness, in definition, is the absence of light. And there is so much darkness in our world. We have a lot of light. But we are living in pure darkness. We are very sophisticated, but we are living in pure darkness. And Jesus comes on the scene and he tells them that those who sit in darkness, I will be their light. I will be their light. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to look there in the second verse. Because in Genesis 1 verse 2, the Bible says that in the beginning, the earth was formless and empty. And darkness covered the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over what was happening in the beginning. There was darkness where? Verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Darkness has no source. It is when light is absent that darkness appears. May God Almighty show up in your dark days. I said, may God Almighty show up. And in this Christmas season, I know it's a very difficult season for some people because they have their family who passed and so on. Whatever it is, remember that the light has shone. The Bible calls him the daylight that shows up in our hearts. And I pray that you will see it. Amen and amen. Turn to the person sitting next to you and please whisper these words, but a bit forcefully. Say, our world today, though sophisticated, lies in darkness. Do you agree? And in the scriptures, the word of God teaches us. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We live in a world that lies in darkness. So when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he is presuming that darkness exists and he is going to bring light to the situation. Are you in the book of Ephesians chapter 5? In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, the Bible tells us that believers must learn to walk in the light. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the You were once in. In other words, he was saying that since the world lies in darkness and you used not to be believers in Christ, as long as you are not a believer in Christ, you live in darkness. It doesn't matter how much light is in your room. God looks at you as living in darkness. The Bible says we have been rescued from what? Darkness. And today, I want you to understand the essence of what Jesus said when he said, I am the light of the world. Amen. Amen. I am the light of the world. So, for Jesus to say, I will be light, he's presuming that darkness exists in this world. And I want you to check through scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, please turn with me in your Bibles. Paul the Apostle gives us a description of our world that sits in darkness. And over there we see seven manifestations of darkness. Seven manifestations of darkness. And as we begin to read and try to understand them, you will notice that when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he really meant it. Because our world sits in darkness. I know somebody who does not understand spiritual things will begin to say, preacher, forget it. There is so much light. You are standing in one now. This is not light. Because when the light of God shows up here, you realize that this light has no luminance. Have you ever encountered something like that before? That you have light in a place, then another light comes on, and you realize the other light overshadows the other light. Right? And here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, please read with me. We will start from verse 17. So I tell you, Paul is describing our world and how that this world lies in darkness. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Number one, he says, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more. Here we see seven manifestations, and I want us to just take our time and begin to understand them. The first thing Paul says that our world is a world where people are living in what he calls futility of thinking. Verse 17, he says, don't walk like the people of the world. Don't walk like the Gentiles, because he says they live a life where they have futile minds. Futility of what? Of thinking. Now, futility of thinking simply means that we fail to attain the purpose of the mind. Please write it down. We fail to attain the purpose of the... We live in an era people do not even know what their minds are for. Come on, be honest. We don't even know what our minds are for. Anybody in this room who can tell me what is God's original purpose for giving you a mind? Don't start from to think, because it's wrong. What is God's purpose from giving every human a mind? It's not to decide. That's not the original purpose. The mind could be used to think. It could be used to decide and all that. But God's original purpose is not that. Write it down. God's purpose of giving every human a mind is so that we can receive revelation from Him. Receive revelation from Him. And after we are done receiving God's revelation, then we use our minds again to live it. In other words, He gave us our minds to receive truth from Him. Truth is not what people tell you. Truth is not what Congress decides. And God is saying, people have come to a place where their thinking is futile because they are using their minds for other things other than receiving revelation from Me. Amen. I know some of you are lost. He's telling us our brains, yes. Whenever your brain processes anything other than receiving revelation from God, and the things you are thinking and deciding is outside of God's revelation to you, you have misused your mind. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, what did Jesus ask the people when they were in Caesarea Philippi? He says, who do men say that, what, I am? Then they said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are this and that. He asked them, what is your own opinion? He says, what was the popular opinion? And the people gave him their opinion. But Peter, at that moment, spoke up and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? He says, you are Petrus. It is not flesh and blood that has revealed it. Peter used his mind the right way the first time to receive revelation from God. Anything outside that is error. And whenever you start making decisions based on what somebody wrote in a book that is not based on revelation from God, you missed it. And the Bible says, in these last days, people will live in the futility of what? Their thinking. Their minds are not going to receive the right stuff. Today, we receive all kinds of craziness. That leads to the second thing. Because our minds are not receiving truth from God, our understanding is darkened. That is the second thing he talks about. In other words, our minds have been blinded. Do you realize that the minds of the people in the world are blinded? And even some in the church. We are blinded and we follow foolishness. Excuse my English. We follow pure and absolute madness, bunkers, the British would say. Why? Because we have failed to use this to receive from God. Whenever you receive revelation from God, you live by it. So Jesus tell Pete, Pete, listen to me. It is not flesh and blood that reveal this. Meaning learning in school is not God's original idea. God's original idea is to receive a download into you. Then you live life by it. Are you here with me this morning? Pastor, this one is also Christmas message, yes. We are not going to talk about a bunch of lights. We are looking at Jesus, the light. And because our understanding is darkened, He brought light to enlighten our minds. Are you following me? I'll get to that place. So whenever our minds are, our thinking is futile, it leads to a darkened understanding. Let me explain it a little bit more. Do you realize our world knows a lot today? You ask Siri, Siri will say something. Now we have Siri's big brother. What is Siri's big brother's name? It's called AI. Right? And some people, they believe AI and Siri more than they believe this. Now, knowledge has increased, correct? Has our knowledge led us to God? This is why you should understand that it is because the thinking is futile and have not received revelation. That is why our knowledge has not led us to God. It has led us to all kinds of things. This is futility of thinking leading to a darkened understanding. We are supposed to be smart. How many of you are smart? Oh, don't be afraid. You are smart if your head receives revelation from God. It is important we understand that the true purpose of the mind is to receive God's revelation, which will guide our actions. And since our minds cannot receive God's revelation, the whole world is groping in a bunch of what I call, please excuse my English, foolishness. And the church is no better. No better. Today, believers don't respect what God is saying. They respect what the pastor is saying. I don't care if you respect what I teach you, but respect the word of God. Amen. Are you understanding me? People believe a bunch of rules written in their church constitution and yet don't want to receive this. Because our understanding is what? It's darkened. It's blinded. And I want to ask you, if your mind is black and you live in darkness, and as a result, you need the light of Jesus. So he said, futility of thinking leads to darkening understanding, and darkening understanding leads to the third one. Tell me, what is that? We become separated from the life of God. Much older version says we are alienated from God. We live life for ourselves, not for God. We post for ourselves, not for God. We have parties for ourselves, not for God. We do things for ourselves, not for God. But if the revelation was received first from God, everything else that follows is done for Him. Are you guys understanding where we're going? I'm making a case why Jesus says, I am the light, because we have a world whose thinking is futile, is useless. It's not being used for the right purpose. I am not attacking technology, but I want to ask you, how much of the technology do we have today that is separating us from God? Is anything wrong with phones? See, you all said no. The answer is yes and no. It's not no. No is not the right answer. The answer is what? Yes. And what? If God was going to judge your screen time, how much time do you give Him in your 8 hours in a day? Anybody to tell me? You just told me there's nothing wrong with it. I am not here to demonize stuff, but I'm here to remind you that whenever something gets invented and it's not a revelation from God, you must watch how you chase it. Because futility of thinking leads to darkened understanding. Do you realize all the craziness we put on phones today? You didn't answer the question I asked. Everybody is putting their head down. If you have 8 hours in a day and you look at your screen time and you spend almost 5 of it on the screen. And that is the average based on the study that the average American spends 5 hours, 46 seconds on their phone in a day. Where is God in the equation? I love you, Lord, but you spend your time on this. How many of you who are married, when your spouses say they love you and don't spend time with you, that you're going to accept that? Come on. How many? Have you realized that before the phones came, when you step out of the house and you didn't have a phone, you never bothered about it? Right now, you may drive at least 10 minutes. If you remember your phone is not with you, you want to turn around and go for it. Tell me where your God is. It's in your phone. Let's have the conversation. Jesus said, I came to bring light. A light that says my phone is good, but it is not what I really need all the time. Anybody ready? I've told you I'll teach you truth to the day I close my eyes. Let us walk the way God wants us to walk. So the futility of thinking leads to a darkened understanding. A darkened understanding leads to people who are living a life that is separated from the life of God. And there is a fort Paul talks about that our world lives in. What is that? He says, this is stemming out of ignorance of God. Most people don't know God. They know about God. They know the Bible, but they don't know God. In fact, I was watching an excerpt of somebody who shot a short movie, and he was on the street asking people to name the 12 apostles. And almost 100 people, none of them could name the 12 apostles. Without looking in your Bibles, who can name all 12 of them? Right now, right here. A guy was passing through an airport. He had a clerican on, so that's supposed to be a pastor or a priest. And immigration was not too sure if this dude was not a drug dealer. It's interesting how now, even when you say you're a pastor, nobody respects you. Why? Because everybody's crazy. So they were not too sure. Okay, he has his clerican, but we have news that he's carrying some drugs. So we need to check it out. And the question immigration asked him is, name the 12 apostles. And he could not name one. He couldn't name one. How can you have a clerican on and don't even know Matthew is one? And John is one. And when he was pushed, the first one he mentioned was Luke. Luke is not an apostle. He worked with them, but he was not. We have become so ignorant of God. And it leads to the next one, number 5. He said, because our hearts are hardened. We have a hardened heart. Today you tell people about Christ and they ask you, so what? What will God do for me? Even there are believers, when you teach them about God, they will tell you, will Jesus pay my bills? There is something that really bothers me in my spirit when people claim they want to walk with God, but then they detect how God must be worshipped. God has set his standards. He ain't going to lower it because of you. He keeps it where it is. But he has given you his Holy Spirit to help you to rise to that standard. Amen. Futility of thinking leads to a darkened mind, a darkened understanding. A darkened understanding leads to a life that is separated from God. A life that is separated from God is as a result of ignorance of God. And ignorance of God is as a result of a hardened heart. When was the last time God told you, don't walk away from your wife? Here's the word for you. You stay with her till death. Till what? You are no angel. She ain't no angel. Me, I'm not an angel. Somebody visited me one day and said, Pastor, I like the way you and your wife do. I said, go ask her. She'll tell you him. I'm one of the most difficult people to live with because there are certain standards I live by and I'm not changing them. Why? Because my heart is that we must please him, not people. Not people. Amen. A hardened heart leads to what I call the lust of all sensitivity. Do you realize people are not sensitive to God now? What are we sensitive to? What are we sensitive to? The correct answer came from there. We are sensitive to ourselves. Me, myself, and I. How I feel. How I what? I was talking to a bunch of children, and they were telling me how that their parents were hurting their feelings. And I said, yeah. So the parents he said, yeah, Pastor, they just hurting our feelings so bad. And it looks like they don't care. And I said, oh, wow. And I said, right now, as you talk to me as an adult, you are hurting my feelings, just that I'm not talking. Because we have become a people that everything in life is about us.
truth is, your Christian walk is never, ever about you.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.